Rain, we're going to say pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That was robust. First thing on is the traffic ordinance review. I would assume certain you are here for that. So when we were going through the ordinance, I'll give you the brief overview. And when we're going through the ordinance, it was suggested to find out whether or not we wanted a one way street on Liberty Street. I think the basis, I'm speaking for other people, that the basis was a safety concern. But other than that, it was a suggestion. It isn't written in stone. And one of the things we learned the hard way is we're going to go to the people, make sure they know. So everybody should have been contacted one way or the other. And that's what we're here for. We're here to hear what you got to say. So anybody want to start?
Well, I got a question, maybe.
Sure.
What's the safety concern? We got the chief right here. Does he have safety concern for Liberty Street?
I don't think it was the chief that brought that up.
Oh.
I think it was just one of the selectmen. In a general discussion, it wasn't like it was, it wasn't a big thing. It was a talk.
My recollection, there might have been something about there was concern when if a vehicle parks next to the wooden soldier and someone's walking down the sidewalk, they might have a tendency to step into traffic. It was the only extent. It wasn't a lot, but that was the only thing I heard.
The safety concern that I brought up was there's no, if you come off of Main Street and step on the Liberty, there's no actual sidewalk. Since there used to be when you had the, at one point there was a raised sidewalk there. So that was my suggestion to the board, was to continue to maybe the sidewalk around that side, which will alleviate some of the parking issues we have and pedestrian traffic.
I think another thing too is when it gets really busy, you have vehicles parking on both sides of the street. So it gets pretty narrow down through there. And I've heard some concerns with tractor trailers unloading that it does get pretty tight and air down through there. So.
You know, if there's a lot of traffic, if it were a long way, when the tractor trailers say if we were going to go down a cottage, if there's a lot of traffic, how could you, expect a whole 18-wheeler to cut that corner safely without impeding the safety on other traffic?
And another question is, why couldn't we add signs or a sidewalk or painted lines to show traffic rather than making the entire street having to go all the way around and cause even more safety concerns along the way, because there are no sidewalks along my road on 10 Main Street. So there's nothing for anybody to be walking around, et cetera. It would just create more traffic in the area in an unnecessary way.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, understanding buses aren't allowed to go down Liberty currently. Is that from the town or is that from the businesses?
They go down Liberty. In the wintertime if they go down Cottage.
I was told by several bus drivers that businesses get pretty...
I'll explain that. So, at one point, we were having a problem. Buses always came up Liberty Street instead of going down to Cottage.
Okay.
So, we went to the bus garage and the school, and there's a policy, my law, policy that they go down to River Street and then come up the hill. Unless it's snowing and the hill is slippery, then we have them try to come up so the bus doesn't spin going up the hill.
Yeah,
that's something we try to address, because when you have multiple buses coming through with tractor trailers and cars parked on both sides of the road, because it's so narrow, that was the policy that we agreed on.
Yeah, but my wife's a bus driver and she's seen other bus drivers go down and she's like, I tell them they shouldn't be doing that because they think it's like a no-no. So...
So if you might bring up, because I've heard tractor trailer, they're there in the morning. Obviously, you guys are hitting on me a little bit with deliveries, and they use tractor trailers to deliver.
Most of our deliveries all take place in the morning, sometime between the hours of, say, 9 to be noon, but it's probably 9 and 11 o'clock, and then they're gone. The concern with traffic being parked or cars being parked next to Wooden Soldier, I never see any cars parked there, but Wooden Soldier and or Haven House of Pizza tractor trailer parks there to deliver down the alley for them. Or at least on the right hand, you know, the right side of the road, and not parked on the wrong side of the road. And then they're, you know, they're gone. They're making their deliveries, they're gone. Like, Baker's is there for maybe a half hour, 45 minutes tops, and Farrell's is even probably a little quicker. Because they always have two guys on truck, they're in and out. And milk truck pulls in to the parking lot. Frito truck. There's only two tractor trailers that come to us. Maybe a third Jay Pollock, but he's in and out as well. But they're all, most of them are all in.
No, and I think that's why, like, it just kind of brought up when we were going over it. That's why Joe sent out the letters to you. Nothing's been set in stone. We just, there's, you know, some safety stuff was brought up that we've seen as a board, and that's why we invited you here tonight for this discussion. So we're not. Like Bob said, we've learned our lesson from the downtown project, so we want to make sure we get input before we do anything. So that's why we're having these conversations.
Right.
So we're not personally attacking you, your business. We're just, there's some safety concerns that we've seen and some people brought to us, and we're just having that discussion.
And that's why I'm here, to discuss something.
Well, I appreciate it.
Just for the record, you're against it.
I am against a one-way, for the record.
Yeah.
100%. And so aren't this group of people that I have. You guys can have this copy if you'd like and see, but in 4 days, you know, we filled up 4-5 sheets of
signatures. Probably, we'll take it if you want to give it. The people that are here are the ones we're concerned with. It's, and to have other people say it, that's fine too. That helps.
Right.
Gross?
When it was first brought up to me, I was very much against it. Then I got to thinking. I go to the particularly Wooden Soldier and Lucy's quite often. And it's a real big pain in the butt to try to back out. It's bad enough trying to see traffic coming up the hill. And you think you're all clear and you're just about to pull out and then somebody whips around the corner from Liberty Street. That's my only thought on that is I wouldn't have a problem with it being one way because of that. But there was a
just two things. One, someone said something about lines or sidewalk. We have attempted that and it doesn't work unless we have actual police enforcement handing out tickets, but that's also going to interfere with Steve's business, which I'm pretty sure he's not going to appreciate, nor his customers. And the other thing, if this were, and I am against it, but if this were to be implemented, which way would the one way be? Would it be up from Cottage Street or in from Main Street?
I think we talked about it from Main Street, but I don't know.
Everybody go down Cottage.
But I'm not prepared to make that decision with the sentiment of the people. But that's my opinion. So
I'm just looking for information. That's all.
Yeah, it's fine. Josh, you got anything? Or as long as you're here.
Not really. I mean, I think it's good as a two-way. The problem that I see is when the cars are parked on both sides of the street, it creates a little bit of a congestion issue there. And it does block my inventory that we keep nice and clean from people being able to see. So, you know, I think we don't want to hurt anybody's business in town. We want to be fair to everybody else too. So, you know, there's not a whole lot to add to it, you know.
Isn't there no parking in front of your dealership? Cars inventory?
So supposedly there used to be no parking there, but oh. There isn't anymore.
Oh, okay, because last time I think the select board tried to have a sign posted on the fence next to your barbershop, and now we have to go back to the police department as far as enforcing no parking.
Right. Yeah, there hasn't been any no parking in a number of years there anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
There hasn't been any complaints either. That's important to know. There really has. And it's tight there sometimes, I'll grant, but it's tight at lunchtime, which is a big deal for you.
It's tight during school times, too. So I brought it up originally because every year I have different people coming to me talking about it, wanting it to be a one way, right? And unfortunately, those folks aren't speaking up online. They didn't show up today. That's all right. That's fine. And I brought it up as, hey, we should have this conversation again. I don't necessarily think it needs to be a one-way, but the issues that I see are when it is a two-way and cars are on both sides. I don't go down that street when the tractor trailers are there, but I'm there during after school and after school activities. It is winding and weaving, people walking, people crossing both sides of the street, doors flying open. It's a mess. And so how do we resolve this mess? One solution I think would be a great solution is parking on one side, maintain it a two-way. I think there's ample parking in the area for all businesses.
Yeah, it's all mine.
On the street. I think there's
on both sides of this building.
It's all mine.
Okay.
Ample parking on the street is probably 5-6 spots.
There's not very many. They park in, they can't park in front of the ones pulling in, gotta back out.
Right.
And then they can't park in front of your parking lot. Like traffic. But we're okay with Josh's business being blocked. No. We don't want to block anyone.
No, I'm just saying we don't want to block anyone's business, but the solution of doing nothing impacts a business,
any business on that road. Doesn't matter which one, it's still impacting business.
No? I still think of adding lines, maybe no parking, some no parking spaces, and making it clear for everybody and for the traffic that's there would help a lot with a lot of these issues.
Has there ever been lines painted on Liberty Street since the removal of sidewalks?
Yes, there has been.
Okay. But if there's no line there now.
But they've been ignored. Like I said, there was an attempt at a no parking sign that was never really enforced. There was lines parked all over them.
That's really the police issue more than.
Joe, is there a plan to have that painted Liberty? No stop, no center line, no.
That's too narrow for a center line. I don't know what we could do center line down there.
We have painted it over the years. I haven't painted in a few years, but the problem with the paint is winter comes and it's gone. Can't see it. So again, my suggestion would be a sidewalk all the way down. If it's raised, they can't park in front of Josh. It forces them to use Steve's two parking lots, and they have to spot. Don't make the parking like Belkie Avenue. You can only park on the south side of. Liberty Street. That would kind of eliminate that side, and I think it would flow well.
Yeah.
It'd be tight, but I think it would flow better. Or maybe put like a guardrail type system where you walk behind the guardrail out. I've seen that on like the rail trails or the trails over Lake George that have like a wooden walkway which hits up, and that again would stop that parking. It would help Josh, and it would not really hurt Steve too bad other than a few cars that park on that side. As far as enforcement, we would be there all day, every day. It's nonstop. We can't put people up.
Well, after a while, you would instill a lesson that you can't park there, and eventually they would learn. It's customer education.
I think that sounds
good. Yep. It is a good idea, but it's a very expensive idea. I personally haven't received any complaints about this road until we talk about changing it to a one-way. And then I get a million complaints, people calling saying, that's a dumb idea. We haven't had, as far as I know, damage. We haven't had injuries. We haven't had accidents. But now the conversation is adding hundreds of thousands of dollars of sidewalk to fix something that, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what we're trying to fix. It's very tight, but it's going to be tight at certain hours. From a standpoint of, I operate on, if I get a lot of complaints to handle something, and that's, from this point, I don't see anything to fix.
Does anybody have anything else they want to?
Rick, I want to hear from you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My thing is that Mr. Walk maintains a perfectly fine parking lot that nobody uses. We have cars parked on both sides, and his parking lot is empty.
Oh.
That's not his fault.
That's not empty. There's a right there that parks in one
of the
parking lot. Everybody uses Massey's. You go by right now, they're all parked. They're in the park. The whole neighborhood uses my parking lot.
The whole west side of the
yes,
probably packed right now.
Yeah, by the way,
I got a phone call from the previously mentioned Tomasos today, and he's again it too. Well, that should be on the record.
I got a phone call from Jay Brown, and he's against it as well. But I would, we've heard from the other business owners. Rick, I'd like to hear what's your feeling on
it. Well, not that I'm trying to hurt Josh's business here, but some of my customers do find it easy to park in front of his trucks, you might say. Of course, sometimes they want to look at his trucks because they're parked right there. So they leave his shop there looking at. But that's a, and so we do find it handy to be able to park on that side of the street. As far as by the wooden shoulder, I've never seen anybody park there.
I've seen a delivery truck.
And I have other people come off that side of the street and pull right up in front of the shop. A spouse be leaving off their husband or whatever that really can't walk that far. They find it handy to get out of the car and just go right in the door right there. So to have no drive coming up the north side of the street is going to hurt those blind cows.
So I'll just say a couple other things quickly that I try to be, I want all the businesses to do well. When I first opened up there, I was kind of like trying to be a parking police as far as don't park in front of my fence and, you're blocking my inventory and everything else like that. And I still kind of feel a little bit that way. But on the same token, too, I don't want to hurt Steve's business. And Rick's got, he doesn't have his own parking lot like I do or like Steve does. So a lot of his customers have to park on that side of the road. So obviously, I've kind of been quiet ever since because trying to be a decent neighbor and good business owner. And obviously, there's some elderly people that might have a tough time walking from somewhere else to get into Rick's place or even to Massey's or whatever else. So, I think if there is going to be any sort of solution, it needs to be something where if the businesses kind of come to an agreement on, because we're the ones that's going to hurt or help, essentially. Obviously, safety is a big concern, but and that's probably the primary concern, but it's also, it can't impact Rick's business. It can't impact Steve's business. And, I'm trying. Most of our stuff is people coming in because they saw it online. Not a ton of people see some driving by, but it does happen. And it is kind of an inconvenience when all the nice trucks are blocked, So.
Anything else?
One thought I had was just, on my side of the street, maybe having free handicap spots for people that have a tough time, walking that far. Say they want to go into Steve's or they want to go into Rick's. It's real close, real convenient, and they're handicap spots, so everybody else that's able to walk doesn't park there, so it like leaves it a little more open. Just a thought I had brainstorming anyway. So
that's a good suggestion.
Yes.
Just a quick question, and I don't know if anybody would have this information off the top of their head or possibly provided for the next meeting. The talking about the financial aspect of it, like Mr. Gunter mentioned, the streets and sidewalk reserve fund, there was at one point over $200,000 in that. Then I believe $100,000 was allocated to the Cloud Nine to the Wooden Soldier, moved here, moved there. Does anyone know how much is currently available, not committed, in the Streets and Sidewalk Reserve?
I don't think we got that reserve. Do we have the reserve number on that?
The one point it was over 200,000. And then with the, I believe, Devin Neri project, 100,000 was moved for that.
Yeah, it's kind of off the it's kind of off the subject, but
no, it isn't off the subject because Mr. Gunter mentioned the financial part of it and Streets and Sidewalk. So it's next meeting, you can provide that amount that's currently available.
When we do sidewalks, we designate out a little farther than this year. So even if we had $200,000, it's in the reserve, or $100,000, whatever it is at this point, it's probably, the thought process is it's going to a different sidewalk than a brand new idea that came up this year. So even if we did do a sidewalk on Liberty Street, which I'm not sure is the best idea, it would be down the road a little bit. So, anything else? I kind of getting the gist of the feeling. I don't know about anybody else.
No, I don't think Josh's idea is terrible. That's three handicap spots on that side of the road. That's it. I mean, I think that would relieve some of that congestion if you just there's three handicap spots. You're not handicapped.
Just put one handicap and two regulars or something from his driveway this way. And then, of course, they don't park in front of the Wooden Soldier anyway. Only for deliveries. And then my biggest thing, I went down there one day and I sat there for probably an hour and a half during some deliveries. And I sat over by the fence there. I really don't see a big problem there. The biggest problem I see is somebody floorboarding and trying to go way faster than they should down through there. That was the biggest concern. Slow down.
That's the concern every place.
Yep. One final thought on this. Maybe just putting a sandwich board or a note in one of the businesses' doors. Please use the parking lot. Just a little FYI reminder to the customers. May help.
It can't hurt, but I mean, that parking lot is pretty well utilized.
It's inexpensive. It could potentially work.
And
it takes 5 minutes to write up a sign and tape it to a window.
Quick question.
Yeah.
So on the minutes, it said that it was a discussion of the parking ordinance. I've been listening to your discussions the last few meetings, and you were talking about the park and ride and parking spaces for the apartment tenants. Were you planning to discuss that tonight as well, or just the Liberty Street situation? Because I'm interested in all of them, but
to be honest with you,
about the other.
I didn't think we were going to finish up because we were going to get the input on that. Once again, some of that discussion about the park and ride and that kind of stuff was just suggestions. We're just trying to figure out how to do it. So we haven't finalized that, and it's not on the agenda to talk about.
Okay. Right? I just saw the parking ordinance discussion. So I think I had to discuss that or if that's not part of this conversation.
Well, it can be, except it will lengthen. We're not really...
I just went the whole thing when we finished the park and ride. We knew there was some changes to the ordinance that had to be made for stop sign, and then we started going down to Liberty. Then probably got a little distracted from that. So tonight, that's why I think, and with all the people, and we're pretty sure we're. What I'm hearing, I just want to make sure before we wrap this up, I'm hearing for the most part, with the exception of one business that says I can, we do something, I'll go along to get along. It's pretty much is don't go one way. And there's probably quite a bit of other sentiment that's not here. So I That's pretty good. I feel pretty good that that's probably.
We will try to have at least one more meeting with park and ordinance to get finalized. And then do we have to have a public hearing for that because it's an ordinance?
I don't think so, but let me look.
But
we have to post it for however many.
Yeah, we'll have at least one more discussion and to finalize. And like I said, most of it was.
Do you want me to say for 5 minutes public comment? What I have to say? Okay.
It's relevant right now. Honestly, it's a little bit off whatever.
Right.
We're in trouble, but you're welcome to go ahead and say what you want to say. We'll save it for.
Oh, okay. I don't know if everybody that knows me. I'm Deb Connor. I'm one of the owners of the Beach Store Bakery, which is between Gladline and Patchwood. And then my sister purchased that building last year. And she kind of wanted me to, because she lives in California, but she, she's been watching the meetings too, and she asked if I would say a few things just on her behalf as a owner of a building that has apartments, because we were listening to, when you're trying to come up with an inventory, I'm like, well, how many apartments are there? How many drivers? How many cars do we need to be able to accommodate if we want to accommodate them? So, I've just been thinking I was on the ABC for a couple of years there, and we did an awful lot to try to encourage the property owners to develop their buildings, hopefully like with tax stabilization, encourage them to use the third floor to their building. Maybe we could get some more house, but you want to encourage everyone to invest in their buildings and hopefully keep as much housing downtown as we can, And I really appreciate, Mike Doran, your thoughts on, when you go by in the morning and you see the parking lot's full, you're concerned for the businesses that where is everybody gonna park? Customers. But my sister, and I'm sure a lot of the landlords downtown will also be concerned if you insist and make it mandatory that their tenants park on the far side of the parking lot. I'm just thinking in winter, that could be a real problem because you're making the apartments less desirable, possibly. It might be harder to rent to someone if they come and live in an apartment and you say, oh, yeah, it's a lovely apartment, but you're going to have to park way over there.
Yeah, from what I've been told, that some of the buildings have in their
lease
permits that they have parking behind their buildings.
Right. There are some that do, say, where Cloud9 is, there's no parking.
Right.
Where, my sister's building, so there's no parking behind that. So just thinking, for right now, there are two apartments. I was just listening to Bill said there's one car there now, but there's another tenant. There are two apartments. You could potentially have three or four people that drive. And I know, it was mentioned that, according to the state, you only have to provide really one space per apartment.
That's according to our zoning. We change that.
Oh, okay. But it just, that could potentially make it a less desirable place to rent. And then, it makes it a less desirable place for people to own property. And you want those people keep maintaining their buildings and paying into the tax roll. You know what I mean? We're trying to generate revenue here. So my sister asked me to please just say, could you please be, there's so much you have to balance, but please consider the building owners, the landlord's point of view of trying to, she's invested a lot of money in that building. There's a lot of things she did to upgrade it, and the idea that, you might have a hard time getting new tenants if, if the parking is so far away. And then as a business owner, so I'm weighing up, you know, all these competing concerns, I appreciate what you're thinking, but then I just think we already have an ordinance for 2-hour parking that is never enforced. We already have a policy for business owners, property owners, that you're not supposed to park in front of the commercial building except for loading and unloading, and we don't enforce the policy and we don't enforce the ordinance. So when you're trying to figure out how to provide more parking and you're trying to find revenue streams, I think to myself, why are we enforcing the 2-hour parking? Really? But anyway, you know, those were just my thoughts, my sister's thoughts on that. And I know you have a lot to try to weigh up, and I appreciate all that effort you put into trying to work out these complicated problems. And, you know, I know you'll do the best you can, but just wanted to throw those thoughts out there, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
After being on the street all those years, that was one of the big reasons I had to get out of there, because nobody enforces parking. Couple buildings down from where I was, the two of them park right there, and they're younger than me, and I park over there. And it's wintertime. It's a real, real problem. And I don't know how you're going to solve it, but it hurts businesses to have people parking there all the time that own the businesses.
Right.
It seems like a no-brainer, but apparently...
It's in most of their zoning permits as well.
Right. Right. Like, it's not how to solve it, but we're on that. It's a really hard thing for a business.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like the general consensus, even with Liberty's enforcement, maybe we look at that more than, you know, trying to make Liberty a one way or whatever. The enforcing part, you know, I think we should look as a board at getting back to enforcing the 2-hour.
Well, 5 years ago, I remember the market type.
It was probably longer than that ago. Yeah. And I think we used to, when we had meters, I think probably.
Meters back.
I know. Dear God in heaven.
I have not officially ran real
quick. Have you?
Yeah. I
can verify that he's ran parking tickets.
Gross.
Good. Yeah. Good enough for you.
I mean,
all right, yeah. Guys, let's get this back in the circle. Unless anybody wants to say something we've already said, we've kind of done full circle. Is there any desire on the board to make that a one-way street? Can we look at these guys and say that ain't happening?
I
go right down the line.
I don't think we need to change something that's not broken. I think if people would use common sense, slow and easy down through there. I know. Everything would be okay.
No, I agree. But I do think we should look more at enforcement. I don't think we should leave it the way it is. That seems to be the general consensus. And I think it's time we kind of earn some trust back from people in town.
Yeah, no. I've heard the people. I think it was more of a proactive conversation.
I agree.
Reactive.
Okay.
I agree, and we'll only add that the other one, you know, that we mentioned that we're going to be talking about, and that the people in the apartments on the other end, we may want to give it some time. We may be trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist there as well. And another comment.
Yeah, I think
you got to let it play out for a little bit and see that you have a problem, then go fix the problem you have. I don't like on Liberty. I'll tie it back into the Liberty question. There didn't appear to be a problem from what I heard, but we're not going to go try to fix it. And it doesn't exist.
And I'm not in favor of it either.
So you can
you can rest assured we're not going to do it.
Thank you for
coming down and doing a little survey. That's not appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys.
I can leave this with somebody and go to supper.
The clerk.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me later.
After you, sir.
Amendments to the agenda.
Sir, I have a moment. I'd like to put an appointment to the Economic Development Committee.
No business?
Yes, please.
Anything else, anybody? I entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay.
This is an appointment to
the economic.
The economic.
Economic EDC, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Approval of the minutes of September 3rd.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of September 3rd as written.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any additions, deletions, or corrections?
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
I'll abstain.
Okay. Thank you. 5 minutes for public comment.
One, when is the town of Fairhaven going to file for quiet title against my family to finally put this thing to rest once and for all, so that the town of Fairhaven can have clear title to actually sell the property out to somebody? Because the way the paperwork stands right now, you're leaving the potential buyer open for lawsuits. I'm not sure if you are aware of the phrase caveat emptor, buyer beware. I understand you guys aren't going to give me a comment on that. I respectfully understand that. Question number two. I don't know if, and I wish Deb had stayed, if you guys have traversed the sidewalk in front of her establishment during her business hours. It looks lovely. It looks beautiful. I love the little flowers around the trees. I love the outdoor dining, but she now has roped off and banisters, and the only problem that I see with that is it leaves about 2 foot wide of space to the sidewalk, and that can potentially lead to an ADA issue for mobility, wheelchairs and stuff like that. It's a safety concern. Other than that, those are my only two comments.
Thank you. I think 3 feet is the ADA, so we'll check that. Yes.
My question is, with respect to the upstairs, the community center, has Bill, I believe his name is Bill Nevins, the electrical inspector out of Rutland, has he signed off on the phase two portion of the construction permit for upstairs?
He can't sign off yet because the non-intruding wiring has to be removed first, which the abatement has to be done prior to that of the asbestos. Which we've already spent money on.
Has he signed off?
I have no idea that anything isn't signed off, but Joe, do you have a...
Thank you for your time.
So, is that, but accepts my question and isn't going to answer. So, I would take it that, is there a date set for the open house that we've been asking, the community's been asking for us from the last meeting?
No.
Meetings?
No.
Is the upstairs ready to be utilized by the new recreational director?
I'm not sure. We're waiting for something to come through on heating, so that's probably where we're
at. So on heating? Did you say heating?
So that's it.
I thought that there was $250,000 received from Peter Welch.
That's old news, and that's been used in this building.
But that was specific for upstairs.
It was specific to augment the grant we got to fix this building. So it was used there.
The community center upstairs.
It was used there. No, it wasn't that specific. It was an add-on to the grant. So thank you. Anything else?
That discussion ended and those comments ended very abruptly. So next meeting, I'll bring in the application that Mr. Gunter signed specific for upstairs.
Thank you. What's the difference? Well, never mind.
Do what you gotta do.
That'll be continued.
Do what you gotta do. Thank you.
Will do.
Anybody else?
I just wanted to say, the suggestion that Josh Markey had to put a handicap spot across from Liberty, I think that's a marvelous idea.
It's probably something we should do anyways, but I don't know.
It really kind of solves issues that.
Well, it solves a lot of problems.
Yes.
Yeah. And still keeps parking.
And lets these people be happy.
Yeah.
I think if we were to do anything, we might want to put it out there first and see what kind of response we get. Because, yes, it does sound like a great idea, but I think we've been met with resistance to some great ideas in the past. And so I'd be hesitant to just sign off on the ordinance with that. I think we need to have more conversation.
I
do agree it is a great idea.
Talk that one some more.
My thought on handicap. Handicap's a great idea. But if you have a handicap here for one side of the road, you should have one on the other side for the other businesses. If people, a handicap is not going to park and walk across the road as good as they would park in front and walk in. And then you get too many handicaps, the other people don't have access without taking a chance on getting tickets.
Well, maybe the idea.
So, I don't disagree with a handicap, but not exactly sure where it should be.
I'm thinking that we should have the business owners from that street.
But point of order, that this is 5 minutes for public comment and not for discussion. If we're going to discuss something like that, needs to be an agenda item.
It's a legitimate talk. I mean, but it's true. We'd have to do a little more research on where and how parking handicaps would have to be. That's for sure. And there are people that will be more than happy to do that from the state if we ask.
Just a quick little side note to tag on to that. Would it be feasible to station an officer down there for an hour or two during the heavier hours?
It's I'm not gonna answer that. It's a little bit off what we're talking about. And the police are down there and they check parking at this point, and we'll talk to them about
traffic surveillance and stuff like that, not like tagging tires or anything like that, but just presence.
The presence. It's a possibility. Any other 5-minute comment? Okay. Department head report. Hey, a new department head. You get to report first. Hey, are we talking to you later? Or yeah, the pump stage up there. Do you want to wait for that? Want to wait? Okay. All right. Chief.
Over the last 2 weeks, we've had two arrests, one was for robbery and one was consent, which is referenced to a stolen car that was stolen from West Street and recovered in Brattleboro, Vermont. And we had a DUI arrest over the weekend. The last 2 weeks, we were about 57 traffic tickets, 27 warnings, three car crashes, 22 sets of fingerprints. I gave you a brief overview of the highlights. Obviously, I don't put every ticket in there, but I tried it for 20 or over. I tried to have a kind of good idea. A couple good ones, was 63 and 40. really a couple high ones, so they were like South Main Street. We've been trying to focus there pretty heavy,
which I appreciate.
We had 176 calls for service in the last 2 weeks, and we're at 27 for the other thing that I wanted to address was the personnel complaint made by Ms. Billowitz. The academy reviewed that. There's legal 37 seconds I was at their house. And they found there was no unprofessional conduct. She's been notified of that. They did not accept her complaint. In a nutshell, the landlords had to deliver this handwritten letter, the first civil process for issues they had with her as a tenant. I walked up, knocked on the door. She answered the door. I said, civil process. Handed it to her. I turned. I said, what's this garbage? She said, what? And she went back in the house. I had the body camera. Somebody must look at it. But again, they didn't accept the complaint.
Thank you.
Thanks. Were the Just out of curiosity, the crashes, were there any similarities or similar same spots or?
No. No. And I will have that heat map for you soon because they're looking at doing the new highway safety grant.
Right.
And I have the heat map and I have it. I forgot to write in. Okay. So you can see the relationship where the heavy crashes are right here.
Just want to get an oar in the water for that if you get extra money to a safety grant or something here, that sign on Capitol Hill that flashes and says, I think is working fantastic. Would love to see one on Dutton Avenue, South Main, and West Street if we ever get the money.
I have one that's not. I have one that we bought. It's about 6 months ago. I've not been able to get DPW and ourselves to coordinate to put it up. I was actually looking at putting it on 4th Street where the 30-mile-an-hour sign is even going that way. And then I just actually ordered another one that's in the warrant there, and if that would be a placement. I was thinking maybe Capitol Hill coming down the hill. But I haven't decided where we would do that next one.
Okay. Is that one that's going programmable?
It'd be identical to the one that's in front of Josh Martin's house. So we will have three of them, and they can be moved if we want to move them around town. But
well, why I ask is I've been in towns where when you go under the speed limit, it says thank you.
Yeah, we can put it on there. And programmed it. I know Paul, if they had thank you and had slow down.
It says slow down if you're going too fast and thank you if you're going the speed limit.
But it sounds like you're all over.
Yep. So with the highway safety money equipment grant, we had $4,000. That was $3,800, a couple hundred dollars, maybe buying another flashlight for one of the cars. Upgrade LED. So that is in your warrant tonight. I did forget to bring that up. Thank you for reminding me. So we will have three. So the goal is to get the other one out with coordination with DPW and programming and then find a location. Again, I was looking at 4th Street going this way. You'd have the 25 and we'd actually put it where the 30 is there and end that confusion going across and then target where we would work together and where you want the next.
Thanks.
I'll start with some communications. AFSCME, the labor union, they sent over a letter saying it's time to start bargaining again for that for our labor negotiations. So that's coming up. I will work with them to schedule some dates. Chief, are you still there? You want to talk about Mr. Hoop? Pilot?
Oh, yeah, if you want to read it. Our new officer just started.
So we got a compliment from our new officer. I'll read it out. This gentleman says, I unfortunately was hit by a deer a mile from the New York border, and your officer Duel went above and beyond the call of duty. We had problems with AAA and towing, but your officer stayed with us to make sure we were okay and got a tow. We could not get a tow to New York, even though we were less than 1 mile from the state line. After an hour and a half, Officer Duel used his contacts to help us. He can't say enough. This gentleman can't say enough. Officer Duel is a jewel and a keeper. After 45 years in law enforcement, it's refreshing to see such a caring and professional officer. His hat is off to him, and he thanks the officer in the town of Fairhaven.
Good to hear that every once in a while.
Okay, a little bit from Public Works. Fall grading and mowing is in process. They should be wrapping up mowing sometime this week. I know South Main that still need. Did they get it this morning?
Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
South Main needs mowing.
So they're going to hit that. The sidewalk in front of Memorial Park. That project will start Monday morning. We're going to notify Facebook and let folks know that.
What are you going to do there?
We're going to replace the sidewalk in front of the memorial.
I suppose you're not going to put slate there.
Cement, like our ordinance.
You're an old codger.
we'll talk about that.
Not the rules, follow the rules.
Sometimes the rules were made to be broken, especially when history is involved.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Never mind.
Monday.
And they're holding.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And they're holding that off so they're not to Monday after Apple Fest, so you don't have it all.
Yeah, they're not going to tear it up during it.
We
are going to have intermittent lane closures over there. So if you're coming north on Main and you want to make that left, that's going to be shut down periodically. We will notify folks about that starting tomorrow. We're going to keep the reminders going. The new backhoe should get here at the end of this month. And I have a lot today, guys. I hate to take up so much time. The Scott Shield project, that will start at the end of this month. We got our wetland permit, so that's moving. The water department, they didn't get as many valve exercises. They're exercising the valve out on the road. They didn't get as many as they wanted to this year, but they're still working at it, just as a heads up. And this is the last, the 2024 audit is the last audit under our current contract. So I just released an audit for the RF, an RFP for the audit firm. So we should have those numbers in now that we're moving into budget season. We'll meet those numbers, you know, in the next few months.
When's the due date for the budget proposals to come in?
November 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, it gives us time. Speaking of budget, the spreadsheet did go live, and staff are entering numbers into the budget now. The board will get their first look on at the next meeting.
That timing,
it feels like we just did this. The Bigelow Hill stormwater project is done. We had a little bit of money left over in the paving budget, so we are going to pave that small stretch. I kicked around the idea of not paving it, but it is, I mean, where we put those culverts and the road was alligator cracked anyway, so we're gonna shim it. So that's getting done. I think it was $14,000 change for that project. Closing out the Park and Ride project. We think we have one more invoice coming in. Chief's not there, but he did order the carpet for the police department. The petition for 1618 River Street did fail, so the lawyer is closing on that sale. Proposals are in for the skyline study. If you remember, they came in and we talked about a grant. We got a grant for that. I'm reviewing the proposals now, and I'm going to meet with the other gentleman from Peter Schneider that came in and talked about this. We're going to sit together and go over the proposals and score them. Security contractor, he'll start on 10/14, which is Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day. But still, he's going to go to the school first, and then he's going to come here and get as much done as he can. He'll start in the clerk's office, so that way it's not to disturb staff while they're there. While he's here, we are going to pull cable for the second floor for internet and cable. So we'll be cable and internet. We'll be phone and internet ready upstairs on the 15th, 16th. We're doing some trainings this year in case anybody wanted to come. We're going to do sexual harassment and First Amendment audit trainings. Thank you to VLCT for helping us out with those. The trucks have been oil undercoated. That was something we do annually to preserve our equipment. So that's done. Anybody knows a painter? I have been unable to find somebody to paint and repair the soffits on this building. I've asked everybody I know. I've put ads in the newspaper.
You know, Jim Rooker.
I know Lynn doesn't want Whitman's do painting in the summer part-time.
If you can send them to me.
Yeah.
Just Mike Standard does it in the summertime.
Yeah, well, Mike, I didn't ask him.
I don't know how much you repair and saw, but
Mark Van Buren, too, I think, does painting on the side, too, I think. Down the hall, right?
Yeah. If you know anybody, I'll touch base tomorrow and get some names. Yeah, it needs to be done. The town allocated $50,000 2 years ago for this. I have been unable to find a contract. It's a pain in the butt to get way up there. So yeah.
It's also tough to get a contractor, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah,
especially. I know. You got one day job, I can't find it. But...
And I think that's all I have for you.
Sure.
You're just sure. One question. When you're in this pave up where the water was getting in the road, those potholes are getting pretty bad on Scotch Hill. Could we get a little
hot net?
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
I got one comment too about your report. You say mowing is wrapping up. We should never wrap up mowing. We should mow as long as we can, whenever we get a chance.
True.
Keep that brush back. It's very important. I used to do that up until snow flies and beyond.
Anything else for the day? Nope. All right, let's move on. MOU with the town. Before we start, I would like to point out the irony of this. We are spending thousands of dollars of lawyers' fees to negotiate with ourselves.
Yes, we are.
This is ridiculous. But I get why we're doing it. Fortunately, this is like we're voters against voters and we're all the same voters. It's ridiculous. So go ahead.
Yep. So this is the updated version of, I don't know if I want to say updated version, but this is our version of what was sent over from the school. It's a little bit more, it's a bit more fair when it comes to liability as opposed to just dumping everything right into the town of Fairhaven.
Are we going to?
We are. I'm going to put this up on the screen. If anybody has suggestions, we can make.
I've got one.
constructive criticism.
Would it be on page 3?
It's on number 8 on page 3.
Oh, I'll let you talk.
No, go
ahead.
I got a good solution I want to propose for that, number 8 on page 3 as well.
Four or five pages.
Let's start at the top and get to that. Okay.
Lots.
So anybody wants to jump in and add their comments or their suggestions, go right ahead. Anybody have anything on the first page?
Only that the school originally started asking for a memorandum of understanding. My understanding, we talked to our attorney, and they wanted to change it to a property license agreement and a memorandum of understanding. But they put the property that's a big difference between a memorandum of understanding and a property license agreement.
Just, only to a lawyer.
Right, but well.
A couple lawyers.
That's the first one we saw.
Yeah.
The rest of it on page 1. Looked okay.
Yeah.
Issue. There's some information you got to fill in if you want to answer which thing, but it was page 1 looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It's just letting us know what we're talking about and right. Who the players are.
Who the players are, and it was just formal stuff and weird. Page 2 is where I thought the discussion would be. Number 2, when we're talking about how long this license agreement / memorandum would take place. So if we scroll to page 2. Number 2 on top, where it looks like it was going to be forever to 24. It could be any period of time. And more of the discussion is probably every year you don't want to fill one of these things out.
Probably.
But is this because it's something new? Is this a 3 or 5 year? It's what I'm not locked in any particular time, but I'm saying we have to come up with how long do you think this agreement before it gets looked at to see if it needs to be tweaked or whatever.
Depends on the terms of revocation, I would think. Right. 3 year, 5 year, 10 year. We can get out of that deal. That's the
We can get out of it. Yeah, with the 6 month.
Yeah, there's a get out clause.
Yeah. Termination, 30 days notice.
30 days notice to get out.
I personally would like to go as long as we can.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know,
would give us throw something out there. So that
10 years.
10 years. Can we put 10 years in? I want to get this close enough so we can pop it out to them and say, this is what we want. Now have your attorney look at it.
And yeah. Spend some more.
Spend some more money.
Yeah.
This seems more than a MOU.
It's definitely more than an MOU.
This looks like
definitely more than a...
Yeah,
I had nothing else on page two. Page three, number eight, there's quite a few lines I'd like to see deleted.
Yeah. I think there needs to be some verbiage that allows access to the public at every time or at any time.
Right. I mean, the earlier language was great, talking about unrestricted access, and then under number eight, restricts it right down to September to June during the school hours. I thought that you could take that, quite frankly, and about when you get down to the first paragraph, and you delete after the sentence that you delete when the licensee is not in session and outside of the licensee's normal hours of operation, just delete that, put a period at the end of playing field, and then you go to almost the last paragraph where it talks about down here and a key and all that good stuff, and deleting everything from by a gate from here on, delete that and put a period.
Where's your first deletion?
Yeah.
The first deletion is up where it's in this line right here. And the start with deletion starts at when the licensee. So when
take
it
all
says,
that out.
Take all that out.
That one sentence, or how far down?
You end at the end of the sentence. Oh. At the end operation.
All right, I'm gonna strike through and then.
That's what I did on my guy. I did strike through to just say that right there needs to go and the bottom part needs to go, and then I can live with number eight.
The last paragraph, the licensee acknowledges.
Yep.
With that, though.
Well, actually, above that, by a gate.
It starts
right here.
Got it. That whole deal.
Yep.
I think there should be some acknowledgement that. This property under this understanding falls subject to rules of school grounds in terms of conduct.
I would want to see what that is because I'm not comfortable that we would be in agreement. That's why I can live with a period here where it says we're applicable. That's the general get out of jail if you've got something you want to talk about that the school feels they can't do in their rules. That gives us room to work out something that works for both.
We're still not letting regular folk on at that.
Oh, will we take those out? Regular folks?
No, licensee acknowledges access personnel and persons under the license's supervision. Licensee acknowledges that the license permits violating.
Are allowed access. Yeah. And was used the licensed premises as a playground and playing field. We are letting.
It says the licensee will be limited to students, personnel, to the licensed premises.
But that's
while in use, will be limited to students, personnel, and others under the direct supervision of the licensee. I can't live with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's.
I don't think that's fair.
No, there's people that use that as a daycare.
Okay.
I would recommend striking out that part of it as well. I do not want to cede the playgrounds to the school for the entire school year. Is the basic my premise, and that's all.
I
think we keep the reimbursement piece if they damage property, or take out the rest.
Okay. So you're going to say lightning acknowledges access to license permits and call. And you start moving it to students.
This is saying if you change licensee to school, let's just use that word. The school will be limited to students, personnel, and others under the direct supervision of the school.
It doesn't stop anybody.
It doesn't stop the public from getting it.
Exactly. I'm thinking there are kids out there going to school shooting hoops, but other folks want to play pickleball, and it's all that same set of courts.
Because we're the licensor.
We're the licensor. The school is the licensee.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't. Honestly,
we're just saying their people have to be under some type of direct supervision.
No, I'm reading licensor acknowledges that access to the licensed premises while in use by the licensee will be limited to students, personnel.
So it's saying
now there's
no direct supervision. Then we want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got to get rid of that.
Got it.
Because absolutely, they can be out there and people could
have their child to play. Right.
You don't have to leave. They should
pickleball, of course, get up and running. People want to go play pickleball.
So we want to whack that whole thing right there like
yeah.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
And any reference to the school being the school and their citizens being the only people that could be on the playgrounds, it's got to go.
Right.
Or I won't support it myself.
No, I don't disagree with you at all. And when they talk about the key and the lock and the gate, just so when I deleted all that right there, my thought was, I don't want to have the school responsible for locking and unlocking. And I get, we have the ability. Why wouldn't we as a town, and even the chief's not here, so I'm wondering, it's a great opportunity to say, lock it. Our police department, when they're making it, make sure that we have a presence that goes down twice a day to unlock in the morning, whoever's on the first shift, and to lock it, whoever's working second shift at 9 o'clock. It puts a presence there. Why wouldn't, and it takes less than 5 minutes. Why would we deal with it that way?
And if they don't have anybody on at 7 o'clock, then one of our guys from the town can just run down there and unlock. I think it keeps our hand in the spot. We're looking at our
because I understand. I don't want to sound totally negative towards the school, because I understand they're concerned about the health,
right,
welfare, safety of students, just like we all are. And but I think there's a way with everybody.
It's a community park, and we can't allow one section of the town to be in control and the sole arbiter of what happens 9 months of the year.
And then there was page 4. I didn't have any. I'm kind of with those changes right there, because we were saying it doesn't have to take forever to resolve this. Take and clean this up. And if you want a final version, 74, but as you said, I would even say, I have no problem with giving it to the school to say, can you live with it?
Before we jump to page 4,
yeah,
under number 10, the non-exclusive use,
mm-hmm,
shall not impair the way of the licensor's rights or ability to allow use of the licensed premises while the licensor is not in session and outside of hours of normal school
hours. I think you've backed that up. Did that backwards.
Mm-hmm. I think we need to remove that, because that's additional language that
we don't need, because the licensor is right.
I would, under third line after licensed premises, I would remove the rest and simply add, will not impair our right or ability to allow use of the licensed premises to other entities.
You want two other entities sitting in this space right here?
Yeah. Because we want to be able to allow any any other entity we want to use.
There might be a flag football game or something. The Vipers might come over and if something were to, you might have ability like to do those kinds of things. Sure, in those fields. Anyone have anything else?
I do not.
I would be happy if this was a lot less formal than what we're making. We're making this with the attorney and just saying, hey, look, here's what we're going to do.
Should be a one paragraph MOU.
Right. And sure, then to get into this level of discussion just sends the wrong thing that nobody trusts anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not
we got lawyers involved. I just want to make sure that anybody can go down and use pickle balls,
right?
Walk whatever they want to do during the day, launch
push their child in the swing, do whatever, right? That's suits and hoops.
People used to love to go up and walk the track at the high school, and they can't do that anymore,
right?
In my opinion, that's not right. With all taxpayers in this town.
Okay. There will be a little language under security cameras.
Yep.
That needs to change. I forget what the language, I forget what the acronym is, but it's during school hours, if there's video cameras down there and we're taping children, there's legalities around that, especially if, say, there's a bullying incident.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to just have somebody come in and say, hey, I want to see your video of these kids fighting.
You need the right language to protect
the
privacy.
Yeah, we need privacy language. And you're going to see that popping up in. We have a lot of cameras going in, so we're going to update our policy around that. And then this will have some language, too. So you'll see that coming through in the next few weeks, months.
Okay. Okay. That gets you where you need to be.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Moving right along. Signing the reappraisal order.
So this
looks like no longer exists.
So this is, we talked a couple meetings ago about the state sending us a letter saying, hey, you need to reappraise your town. I didn't realize we'd actually spot to sign that and send it back to them. So we need.
Is that the chair to sign?
There's only one spot, and it says.
What exactly does it say?
This is them telling us that we've reached that threshold, and that we now need.
Didn't know we did. I thought we were still a couple points off.
Their new way of weighting, our CLA was good, but another one that they just plugged in up in Montpelier. Put us out by 0.2%. And so what all this.
That's for Bob.
All Bob will sign this?
Yes. And then I'll get back.
Do you need any kind of motion or anything to sign that?
I ain't signing it without a motion.
I'll make a motion to sign that we received the reappraisal direction from Montpelier. And we'll have the chair, Mr. Richards, sign it.
I'll second that motion.
They have Richard Ritt.
Mr. Richards sign that.
You're both out of order.
I'll see you later.
Did we get a second so I can add a comment?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
My only comment right there would be, okay, so where are we? If I was looking at the minutes or watching on Big TV, I'd be saying, so what does that mean? Yeah, and hopefully, correct me if I'm wrong, that means our listeners are putting a request together for seeing what it's going to cost and everything. And so we'll know what it's going to cost, and then we'll make a decision to go out and try to get someone, and we'll get put on this list. Reappraisal could be years away because of the number And the fact that we're out by 0.2%
which
on something
change.
New that just went in that could change again.
Well, that 20%
we shouldn't be rushing.
That 20% has been around for a long time. I think that what's changed is how they calculate that 20%, because we've been well over 100% for a very long time. We've dodged this bullet for a long time.
They explained to me it had something to do with the equalized weighting of students, and that changed the way the calculation.
So yeah, okay. Is there everybody understand what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? This is our response. So, anybody want to respond?
We disagree.
But what would happen if a town refused?
Under duress.
You would lose any, if you happen to not be a gold town, you would lose any state aid.
Right, all that
it would stuff. Make everything up. But,
I think they could make life miserable. We want
well,
to
they would nice. Make life
we want to play nice. We really do.
The reappraisal. It's always scary, and it goes by the one third will go up, one third will go down, and one third will stay the same. And that's been the two reappraisals I've been familiar with. That's what's happened. But it's still a royal pain, and it's expensive.
Very expensive.
And it's and nobody's happy. And be prepared when the Board of Civil Authority gets their appeals. Instead of two or three, there's 50.
Oh, you'll be living.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a long, ugly, fun in game. If that encourages to stay on the board even longer, I'd suggest it. Anyways, okay, enough of that. Budget expectations for new business.
Okay, so this is my annual, what's the board looking for, not only in terms of increase or decrease in the budget, but where do we want to focus our time and our time and money? We could say it's easy to say, well, a 3% increase, but that could be a 12% increase in, you know, municipal building and a significant reduction everywhere else. Yeah. So I guess I'm looking for guidance. What's your increase and where do you really want to focus your time and effort?
Sidewalks. Sidewalks is a big one. That's the biggest complaint that I've seen recently is even just resurfacing them. I was going to bring that up later, but sidewalks and I'd say paving, you know.
Fine. You want areas, not.
Nope, I need a percent increase.
Because
so when
I was going to say, I come back and say, before I start talking about what, I don't want any increase. I want a level budget, is what I want. That's now, and I have to. That, as a taxpayer, that's what I want. Now, that said, realistically speaking, what I'm thinking, and I could be all wet, I've had people tell me that many times, not to exceed 3% for a budget that passed by 3 votes and less than 20 the 2 years before that, I'm telling you that I wouldn't want to exceed 3%. Also, I'd want us to entertain a way that I don't want each department going out trying to put a budget together at 3%, because that doesn't give us any room. You know how we didn't put anything in our reserves for a few years and everything? I'd rather give the departments a goal of less than 3% so that we as the board and Joe have some wiggle room for putting money in reserve funds and or things that we just got to have. The list you were trying to make, like sidewalks and paving, well, it's okay to say that those are there. Where's the money? Show me the money. To me, I'd start at saying, put me a budget together, departments, on 2.5%. That gives us a 0.5% to work with. That doesn't mean they don't get 3%. Like, for example, I'm looking at Carrie, and she's saying, Glenn, you're mad. But I look at the sewer, I'm saying, you put a budget together for 2.5%, and she comes in and says, these manhole covers that I keep telling you about, we got to do something about, or this other thing, it gives us a 0.5% of putting it to bring it to 3. That's just my.
I agree with mine.
So, So if you let me know what your goals are for those reserves, I can actually do that ahead of time.
You're the guy. Well, no, you can, but I'm saying usually I don't have any goals for those reserves until I hear your department heads come in here and build their case. I don't want you telling them what's important to them. I want them coming to you saying this is what's important to us. And so I don't want to give you those areas to concentrate on. I want to keep the 0.5% to after I hear and we ask clarifying questions and you usually push back and do a good job keeping us in line. But I just sitting here and throwing out stuff without talking to those department heads, I don't know.
Well, let me give you an example of why I asked, where do we want to target, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we're going to get 6 or 8 months into the budget, and I'm going to hear, I got an enormous tree we need to cut down. It's only going to cost you $11,000. I don't have $11,000 now spent. I have 2 trees that I now need to cut, and my budget has been blown on 1 tree. So then we say, well, this is a dire need. We need to cut these trees down. This is only $6,000. Now I'm in a deficit of $6,000. Oh, we just had a storm drain fail. Now I'm in a deficit of another $5,000, right? So it's easy to say we don't want to, but when those things pop up like $11,000 tree, we're going to have to restrain ourselves and say, well, we didn't budget for that. Because I can't find, it's easy to say go find money, but you can't. I can't find money. This is where my money comes from, as you gentlemen sitting here. So that's what I say. It's where you want to set your money, and let's focus on that.
Which means that you and your department heads have to make a case for that. I think 3% is unrealistic because that's the going rate of inflation. So you're asking for a level fund at 3%. If you just increase the 3%,
0% is a level fund.
No, it is not.
Think about it, Matt. I'm telling you, if we do anything more than 3%, I'll be shocked if our budget gets passed this year. And I probably wouldn't vote for it either.
Well,
just so you understand.
But
you're going right ahead.
But I don't understand. First of all, 3% is level funded.
Let them come back with the 3%. We might sit here and decide that things are so critical to the part, again, what you're talking about. They're so critical that we got to do it, and you don't have the money. And it goes to something higher than 3%. But I can guarantee you, if you don't put that 3% out there, we'll be coming in at 9, finding our way back to 6, and going, oh, well, this is what we need. Well, if you want your budget voted down, go right ahead and put that out, see what you're going to do.
So,
at a group of people that are already in this state.
Your goal for a budget is to get it passed rather than to do it.
My goal for the budget is no different than my home. I only have so much money. I don't dream up other stuff and go try to take money from everyone else. I live to my means. This year is going to be tough, and we need to live to our means.
There's no question it's going to be tough this year. The schools are already talking about a lot.
A double-digit increase, awesome.
Once again, we can't budget to offset the schools.
I understand that, but it all enters into the big picture.
I believe 3%. What we do is we disagree to disagree. I feel 3% is a reasonable, and we can do it. Now, come back and let the department heads and Joe come back and show me how we can. But I believe it's doable.
Well, it's level fun.
I think we should shoot for it and try our best. I hate level funding because down the road, it don't work.
Level funding, one thing we should all understand, that level funding this year means we do exactly what we did with the reserve accounts that we did last year.
Yep. That's what will happen.
That's exactly, which was nothing.
Weren't there some capital purchases, though, that
we made some major, everyone was talking like we're starving. We bought a lot of brand new equipment. We did a lot of stuff. You look around town, we're doing a lot of things.
We are.
We're not letting the critical stuff go by.
That was a 10% increase.
And we are not letting, and I'm just saying, it's You can't just keep spending. That's what's going on in Montpelier. That's what's happening in our, and I know I'm probably going to get myself in trouble by saying in our school budget, we just keep spending, spending, spending. There's a point where you have to say, enough. We can't afford anymore, and let's live with what we can afford. And that may mean there's some things that don't get done. Now, when I say 3%, if someone comes in and says they can't get to 3%, I know how to get to 3% with one less person. Usually, paying benefits is a big chunk. You can get to 3%. There's a lot of different ways you can get there. So I that this thing well, of saying we can't do that.
You won't have the increase of his salary this year. You won't have that massive increase of $40,000 or $50,000 that or $60,000 whatever we put in for it. You don't have that as an increase this year, so that'll be a little easier to swallow. You know what I'm saying? So there's that, but let's. I mean, I'm
just trying to think. We can have the tough discussions now, or we can get our budget voted down and come back and have the tough discussions after. Either way, we're going to have them, and I'd rather have them now.
What I want is that when people come in and say my road needs work or my sidewalk needs work and we have decided we're not going to do that, I'm going to lean over to you and say explain why we had to go with 3%.
The same people that are screaming the taxes are too high. Now there's another approach that's been floated out there that says you get something that you feel you absolutely need to have. And by the way, I look at sidewalks and they're not the top priority for me at all. They're not an absolute gotta have. There's other things like roads, ditches, there's things that are gotta haves. But if you really feel that way and want to spend $150,000 on sidewalks, put it right on the ballot in March. And let the voters say, great, that are complaining that my taxes are too high, let them say I'm willing to pay higher taxes for $150,000 a sidewalk. By the way, I'd be shocked if they did, but if they want to, that's fine. We've done everything in our power. We control what we can control.
We could do like Castleton does, let them vote on every line item. I'm not saying that,
but I'm saying that there are going to be some things that if you've got something that you feel is that important and it's a big dollar item, don't try to put it. I think
that's what we're here for.
We're here to keep within our means, and I think you've got to spend within your means. I think that 3% is reasonable.
Okay.
That's just
anybody else? We're starting to repeat ourselves. Yeah. Us two are.
I mean, it's a reasonable starting point. Right? Then we see what we're missing. If there's anything critical, we need to add. If there's any wiggle room, you know, I think we'll find more wiggle room this year than years past.
Okay.
I agree with that. I think this is a great starting point.
Spending less on fuel.
Mike.
My first budget thing, so I mean, I take it at all. But no, I mean,
I sure love it.
Right.
It's already started out be pretty good.
But, you know, to your point, there has been a lot of complaints about the sidewalk in town that seems to be important. So, I mean, it surprises me. Every year you go to vote, you think it's not going to, and people do. They vote for it. So, what might not be a concern to you might be
the major item for people
right
out there.
So,
I think we got to do some sidewalk every year. The worst of the worst every year.
Right.
We got to just keep stabbing away and getting things done.
Right. You don't want to turn into another Scotch Hill, you know, it's the point where it costs more.
That's correct. We got to spend more on our infrastructure.
Okay. That's the stuff people notice the most and harp the most about is that we don't put money into that stuff.
So to Glenn's point about putting it on something on a warrant, right? So the operating budget is literally that as our budget to operate. It may not be a capital expenditure like sidewalks or a different road to pave. So it, from my perspective, adding a large like chunk of money for sidewalk, that's not operating necessarily. That's an enormous capital expenditure. It seems to me to jive that way. I know different towns do differently, but that's kind of how I see it too. It's larger than just maintenance.
So that's our target goal, and
3%. We like sidewalks.
We like sidewalks.
Okay,
but it's what I would suggest to your department heads is be ready. You get a little bit longer time, but be ready for the hard sell.
Mm.
They're going to have to sell it, and they're going to have to be schooled.
Mm.
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
Hope station.
Yeah, we're all ready for you now.
Before I start on this, I just wanted to tell you that we got the digitization project done. You guys had approved, and we're actually going to test it out in October when we do our line flushing. So we're going to actually print out the map, and we're going to do a lot of investigative work so that we have that. We're going to pop manholes while we're, I mean, obviously we have to pop manholes when we're flushing, but we're actually going to take that whole digital plan that we have and start making a plan on exactly what manholes need to be addressed, which lines need to be addressed.
Any surprises when you're out looking? That's when you're mapping?
Actually, it was a huge educational experience because we ended up walking like most of the town. So it was, I learned a lot about our system. So it was really positive. So a couple of weeks ago, this is the welcome center we're having problems with, that pump station. A couple of weeks ago, I lost a capacitor in it, which wasn't a big deal, except for the next day the pump went. And I have a feeling that after doing some investigation, the pump probably went because the panel needs replacing. That panel was installed in 1999, so it's 25 years old now, and it has been getting some moisture in there. And when we tested out the other pump, the breakers aren't tripping in it.
That was a little concern.
Yeah, so right now we're down one pump. We thought maybe we could rebuild it, but we can't. This motor that shot on it, it's not going to be rebuilt. So what you have before you is a quote from PSI, one from A1 Sewer, and one from Champlin. A1 did not give me a quote on the panel yet, but I put them actually in order of tasks. So your lowest one's on top.
Are you familiar with these guys?
PSI is the one that did our last two pump stations. Okay. So very familiar. They did the upgraded panel on Academy Street and Adam Street.
So is that your recommendation for PSI?
Yeah, they know our pump stations. They know our plants now. They come at the drop of a hat. I mean, they're coming from New Hampshire. I called them for a quote on Monday. They were there on Tuesday.
And I can, on Cary side, they're in wastewater and water. There aren't a lot of companies out there that do this stuff, so pretty much what you see is what you
get. And when I actually put this quote together, I put it in for the cheapest panel possible. We even take out the outlets in it. So this is stripped down, just a panel to get us by.
Do we have the money?
In our capital, we do. Okay. We put $20,000 in last year, so it's going to take that.
Hey, that's right. That's how you put it.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Remember that, guys.
So we have one more to keep in mind we do have one more pump station that's going to need some updating, and that's one up at the guard shack.
What does this pump station serve?
The Welcome Center.
The Welcome Center.
Yep.
There's good foot traffic through there.
We took that over.
We took it over. When we took it over, we should have had some sort of agreement for maintenance on it that was past people. We can't fix it. We just have to deal with it. It's ours. We own it. We got to fix it.
Why did we do that?
I don't know, Bob. Why did we do that?
I don't know. I don't know what the
There should have been some sort of maintenance agreement.
Many years ago.
Right? Oh, I don't even remember one.
But
then again, I don't remember yesterday.
So. And just so you know, the two pumps that were installed in there, they were installed in 2019. So the panel probably should have been addressed then. And I don't want to repeat that. I mean, pumps are obviously extremely expensive. So.
So that you're thinking, okay.
I don't really see any point in replacing the pump without doing the panel. And I can't run on one pump. Because it's only a matter of time.
Hopefully we're going to go another year and replace the guard station one.
Hoping. This last week, we actually went through. We pulled all the grease out of them. We pulled all the floats. We de-ragged everything. This was going to need cleaning again before they get down in there and work on it. But we can do that ourselves. Not a big deal.
Looking for a motion? I'll make a motion to accept the bid from PSI for what was stolen?
Not to exceed.
Is that $15,600?
Yep. And there one note to that, though. We are going to have to use our Vermont electrician. So the final connection is going to have to be made by our Vermont electrician because they're a New Hampshire company and they do not have a Vermont license. So. But it's still way below any of the other ones, even with that. So it might exceed.
Might exceed. Now, okay. Well, what's the amount that you're comfortable? What's our Vermont electrician going to cost? Give us.
Is he going to charge more than $100 to just hook up some water?
Let me modify my motion. I'll make a motion to accept the bid from PSI. For total installation, not to exceed $16,000.
I'll second that.
Questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye. Thank you for being patient.
I would need a motion for that money to come out wastewater.
I'll make a motion to take the $16,000 out of the wastewater capital fund.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I want the auditor to come knocking on my door.
You are not.
Chet.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Anything else for us? Thanks. As long as you're here?
We're loving this warm weather that's holding out. We're taking stuff down, cleaning it. Shaden actually and I pressure washed the entire contact chamber today. It's looking all nice and shiny. So just busy.
Good. That's good. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
for working. Thanks again for that. For boring the crane. Thank you.
Oh,
good luck.
Thank you.
Add on for the
appointment to the economic development committee.
Laura Pedroni, she visited us at the last EDC meeting and she loved it so much. She said she would like to join.
Okay, you have to repeat that name.
I'll make a motion that we appoint Laura Pedroni to the Economic Development Committee.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Good.
And she was, she wanted to apologize. She had other things planned for tonight. She wanted to be here and meet everybody, but there were other.
She's fairly new to Fairhaven and bought a place on Main, North Main. Well, last year.
Well, welcome aboard. And
did you get a second? Or?
Yeah, we voted.
Chad seconded.
Chad said.
Didn't we all vote?
Yep, we did.
That's cool. I mean, that was all right. Parking lot, you had. Something you wanted to talk about.
We're going to skip the revenue.
Revenue.
I'm fine.
I'm sorry.
Revenue efforts, anything new to report?
Yeah, so I finally started moving on the transfer station. We're going to clean up what's considered the dog pound now and turn that into what I'm calling a swap shop with my goal of bringing in a little bit of cash and then reinvesting that money into the transfer station. We pay a lot of money to remove Freon from our appliances. So I think slowly I want to use that to kind of build off that and improve our services now or down to this transfer station.
So we would have to do that. I think one of the things we'll have to do is come up with a policy that you're going to write that says what we, you know, what the condition of things we would accept and that kind of thing like that.
Yeah, it's rules of what you can and can't leave. Yeah, because we don't want your bag of garbage.
Right. No, we don't want this. We don't want the revenue generating swap shop to cost us money.
Yeah,
that's my only concern.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, I did this in my last town. We had really good success.
You won't believe the stuff I find almost on a weekly basis that only dump it.
Good to see.
Tell you what, I do it too.
I found like almost mint nylon U-Haul truck that was in the middle of the dumpster. I was like, just missing the grill. I was like, bolt motor.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Galvanized stock
tank. Yeah, it's
you want that stuff.
TVs. Yeah, TV.
Good.
TVs that work.
TVs that work.
All right. Anything else?
No.
At this point. Okay. Let's go to the parking lot. I tried to jump in.
No, you're fine. I was wondering. Seeing how we have a lot of work going to be done by the Planning Commission on subdivision regulations, downtown designation, and neighborhood designation, I'd like those three things added to the parking lot because that's a good way of us keeping it in front of us. And if we don't remember, it helps me remember to say, Bob, how are we doing on this one, or get us talking about it. Yeah.
Now, what was the three?
Subdivision regulations.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Downtown designation.
Got that.
And neighborhood designation.
Thank you.
I'm not sure what that one is.
That's the one where the down village designation this big, downtown designation this big, neighborhood designation this big.
Okay.
From a historical funds to do things. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. That's probably
the last
not
one.
Required
so, right.
To get the Act 250 exemptions.
No, all we need is a subdivision.
Yeah.
And I think you're working downtown and subdivision almost concurrently.
Yep. Yep.
But I just wanted the neighborhood designation just so as a placeholder. Right. To say it might be 2-3 years out there before we get there on that one. That's okay.
We had our first meeting with the Rutland Regional just tag on to this last or 2 Wednesdays ago, and we'll talk about it again tomorrow. The goal is to be done by the end of the year to have both those things in place and have it approved by the state. The subdivision, I haven't gotten from Rutland Regional. They were going to give us just a template of what needs to be in it. And some, I think Bolney has it, and Castleton may have it. So, and so that's what we'll do. We'll go through it a couple nights, probably take us, figure out what we need in Fairhaven, what the state needs at the basic level, so we don't miss any of that, and go from there. The one thing that was encouraging was the explanation of it, you know, a quarter mile circle from the downtown designation to a half mile circle. It doesn't exactly have to be a circle because a lot of the circle, the quarter mile particularly, gets us down to the river and unbuildable projects, you know, unbuildable land. And there's not a lot of buildable land in that area. So we may be able to oblong that circle a little bit. As long as we don't get too greedy, the state is looking for housing and they're looking for projects. So they're willing to work with everybody. You see what we say when we get down to brass tacks, but so far it looks like they want help towns in that way. That's good. So
good.
Subdivision is moving right along. And what we have to do for downtown isn't more horrific. Okay.
Board roundtable.
Just have one thing. When are the strippers going to finish our painting? Because
yeah, well, I see like
one
shot.
One side of what
way?
Way coming down through is not done. One side of North Main Street.
It's not. Yeah, they'll be back. I can call them and see, but that's the state schedule.
Just kind of funny. They have them two spots.
I don't know if anybody noticed.
Probably it was a Friday.
Washington Street. Did anybody notice the straight? Maybe just take a look at that white line.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask the chief to give him a sobriety check when he painted. Just that they got straightened out after a while, Bob. They got off to a rough start.
Yes, they did.
Didn't have enough
coffee. They'll come back around.
Maybe not. They are coming back.
They'll come back around.
Okay.
I'll see if there's a schedule.
It's been a while. I thought maybe they were coming back through from the other way, but it's been a while now. So I was going to ask a couple of weeks ago, but I said I'd wait a while. See what happened. And that's all I have.
Got a couple things. Big thing is I was down behind the school Saturday. I understand baseball's over with, but is there a reason we let the baseball fields grow in? I mean, didn't we give them a ton of money and to make that look nice? And I think it looks like absolute crap. Everything's overgrown and not mowed. And
yeah, in order to keep the infields free of grass, it would have to be sprayed regularly. It's a tough thing. The reality is, it has to be maintained, very frequently. I think every year is going to be expensive having to till it up and add more on top and combat the grass as it tries to grow. It's a tough one.
But we can also get the rec director down there. That's the part of that job is to make sure that's maintained.
Yeah.
And we'll get them down
there. And then I know we kind of brought this up, brought around school time about crosswalks and stuff like that, but I know we did ones around the school, but we have a schedule for DPW to touch up all the other markings on all the other streets and crosswalks, stop lines, just kind of freshen those up. I mean, no, this kind of year doesn't really make sense, but.
Well, they're waiting on more of the stick down, but let me see, because I haven't heard anything in weeks. So let me ask.
Fresh part paint on things would be nice. Should be like a yearly thing. That's all I got.
Just a couple items. Apple Fest is Saturday, so get out there and support our grade school as well as our rec department. It's going to be doing something, so it's great opportunity there. And I just wanted to acknowledge in my mail slot, I had a letter from the cemetery committee, and we'll talk more on that, but it was looking at budget season coming up and wanting us to consider money. So more Bob. That's it.
The only thing I got is just because it's budget season coming, could you give us an estimate, a working figure we can figure on for cost per foot for sidewalk?
Yes, I have that.
For what?
For sidewalk. Cost per foot. Just so we can, when we decide what we're doing, we don't overspend.
Yeah.
Oh. That's it.
Ready for the financials?
I am.
Okay.
Wait a minute. I got.
Everybody else was ready.
I got to find the right piece of paper.
You let me know when you're ready.
Here it is.
There we
go.
Okay. I'll make a motion to pay the payroll. $36,513.35.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
I'll make a motion to pay the warrant of $1,162,992.43.
You want to read those off?
Of which Bob will share with you.
Oh, you can.
Okay. That was a $597,000 school payment, a grant repayment of $87,000, a truck payment of $70,000, sewer bond payment of $74,000, and water bond payment of $49,000.
Yeah.
Those are.
I've never had warrant that high.
That's a big one.
Is there a second?
Reluctantly, yes.
Close your mouth.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
And the checkbook status, we're in a negative $229,332.23.
This is where you say, "Don't worry about that."
Don't worry about that. We've
yeah. Got so funds. So on your that looks wild. I get that this time of year. So on your financials, we'll see there's still $3.something million due to us in taxes. So you're okay. The reason it got so bad this time is because the school payment got pushed back, and then that hit our water bond, our other water bond, and then all the payments came out. So because it's scary, but it's
because of the vote.
Yeah. Normally we don't have everything hit all at once like this. Our cash flows back out a little bit.
What's this one?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session for personnel on the 1 VSA 313A1.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
And executive session is fake TV breaks down.
Making a motion to adjourn with no action taken.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Let's go.
Who's their second?
I'll tell you, my son worked for a program called Pathway. Did you look it up? They simply get a person in a home.